and Counterpunch just came out July 30th. I think I'm getting people confused. But anyway, The Only Way to Stop Climate Change May Be Revolution by Eric Holthaus. I've got to get out of here. We have a minute to go before 9 o'clock. So thank you, Sonia, for operating the board. Thank you, everybody, for calling. Paul Rowland signing off for Wednesday Talk Radio. Bye, everybody.
So take heart and take care of your link with life. It's beautiful if you got the sense to take care of your source of perfection. Mother Nature, she's the daughter of God and the source of all protection. Look right now and you will see she's only here by the skin of her teeth as it is. So take heart.
Miss Nana now, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM. You don't know.
When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, the farmer is...
Tune in to The Dirtbag every second Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m.
Learn to grow your tasty fruits and vegetables in your home garden.
There is a monthly garden stumper, calendar of gardening events. You can even call in with your gardening questions.
That's The Dirtbag every second Wednesday, 11 to 12 a.m. That's on
KBOO
Portland.
Listen, laugh, learn.
The farmer is the man that feeds them all.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Today on Sojourner Truth, a wide-ranging and in-depth conversation with Brazil-based Winnie Overbeck, the coordinator of the World Forest Movement, a network supporting forest-dependent communities who are struggling to defend their territories in Latin America, Africa, and Asia. We discuss the COVID crisis in Brazil and its impact on indigenous communities who live in the Amazon rainforest, and also its impact on other vulnerable populations. We also discuss the threat to the rainforest by fires and land grabs. Also, attacks on quilombolas, Afro-Brazilian land, the growing concern and resistance to multinational corporations establishing mega forest plantations, displacing villagers in Africa and Asia. Also, racism in Brazil and the Black Lives Matter movement there, and more.
We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities, are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Eileen Alfandari. The U.S. has reached President Biden's July 4th goal of 70% of U.S. adults with at least one coronavirus vaccine, but there's little celebration. The goal is a month late, and the Delta variant has led to a new surge of coronavirus cases and hospitalizations. 135,000 new cases reported yesterday. The seven-day average is 85,000. Hospitals are filling up with unvaccinated patients all over the country. Louisiana is reinstating a statewide mask mandate for both vaccinated and unvaccinated residents in all indoor locations, including schools and colleges. So has the San Francisco Bay Area, despite its relatively high vaccination rate. A federal appeals court ruled that Indiana University can proceed with its plan to require students and employees to get vaccinated for COVID-19. Christopher Martinez reports that federal health officials continue to urge people to get vaccinated and mask up.
Coronavirus cases are continuing to rise across the nation, and the problem is worst in those states with the lowest vaccination rates. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
As of Saturday, CDC reported the seven-day moving average of daily new COVID-19 cases to be about 72,000 cases per day. This represents an increase of 44% from the prior seven-day average and higher than our peak of last summer.
Of course, last summer's peak occurred when there was no vaccine. Now there are several vaccines that are available, free, and still effective in preventing serious illness or death. But the new Delta variant is a troubling development, with hospitalizations up 41% and deaths up 25% over the previous week. Jeffrey Zients is the White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator. Zients says there's a positive trend. The eight states with the highest case rates are seeing a sharp uptick in vaccination rates.
This increase in vaccination rates in states that have been lagging is a positive trend. Americans are seeing the risk and impact of being unvaccinated and responding with action. And that's what it's going to take to get us out of this pandemic.
I'm Christopher Martinez.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has tested positive for the coronavirus. The South Carolina Republican is the first senator to disclose a breakthrough infection after being vaccinated. He said he's very glad he received the vaccine, without which his current symptoms would be far worse, Graham said. The news prompted several other lawmakers to get coronavirus tests and report their status. A handful of Senate colleagues spent part of the weekend working and socializing with Graham, who attended a gathering on Democratic Senator Joe Manchin's houseboat the evening that he first developed symptoms. The eviction machine swung back into action yesterday after the federal eviction moratorium expired over the weekend. Around the country, courts, legal advocates, and law enforcement agencies are gearing up for evictions to return to pre-pandemic levels. At a time when 3.7 million people were displaced from their homes every year, or seven every minute. That's according to the Eviction Lab at Princeton University. Researchers say cities with the most cases are Phoenix, with more than 42,000 eviction filings, Houston with more than 37,000, Las Vegas nearly 27,000, Tampa, Florida more than 15,000. Mary Sherman reports.
Calling it a public health issue, Wisconsin Democrat Gwen Moore and other members of the Congressional Black Caucus are demanding a federal eviction moratorium to be extended.
No one should ever lose their home, but especially not now during the resurgent pandemic.
The order expired over the weekend, and White House advisor Jean Sperling says President Joe Biden's hands are tied by a court order.
The president is still kicking every corner because I think if there's any chance that you could get this extension, he wants to know every available authority.
Sperling urged states to quickly allocate COVID rental relief aid authorized by Congress this spring. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
Two more police officers who responded to the January 6th Capitol insurrection have committed suicide. They both belong to the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Department and had deployed to the Capitol to help besieged Capitol police officers who faced the violent mob of pro-Trump supporters that day. A police official says Gunther Hashida was found dead inside his residence last Thursday. The department also disclosed the suicide of Kyle DeFreitag. He was found dead on July 10th. Their deaths bring the number of suicides by officers since the Capitol insurrection to four. Four officers who testified to a House Select Committee last week spoke of the emotional and physical injuries they and other officers suffered as a result of the insurrection.
And this is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. In Brazil, just like in the United States, poor and vulnerable communities are being hit hard by three interconnected crises: ecological devastation, COVID-19, and systemic racism. Similarly, both countries are run by right-wing leaders who are worsening these problems with their racist and profit-driven policies.
In the Amazon region, logging, mining, and deforestation continue to threaten the survival of its rainforest. The Amazon produces up to 20% of the oxygen in Earth's atmosphere and cycles water that regulates a global weather patterns. It is also home to more than 30 million people and over 10% of the world's biodiversity. Unfortunately, between 15 and 17% of the Amazon rainforest has been lost, this according to Brazil's National Institute for Space Research. If the amount of cleared forest land reaches 25%, there won't be enough trees cycling moisture through the rainforest, causing the rainforest to dry out into a savanna. Deforestation in Brazil's Amazon increased 22% in the first 5 months of this year compared to the same period of 2019, according to the Associated Press. Not only are logging, mining, and deforestation forcing the indigenous peoples of the Amazon to leave their lands for greener pastures, but there's also growing concern about the public health of indigenous communities in the Amazon, where dozens of people have already contracted COVID-19 from outsiders. Most indigenous communities have not yet received personal protection equipment from the government to protect themselves from the fast-spreading virus. Much like Donald Trump, Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro has completely mishandled the COVID-19 public health emergency. Brazil is now the second worst impacted country in terms of reported deaths and cases, with the United States in first place. Bolsonaro, who previously called it a little flu and claimed it was being over-exaggerated by the media, now himself has contracted COVID-19. And according to investigative journalism agency Agencia Publica, the death rate for Black Brazilians is higher than for other populations. We also have to keep in mind that Brazil has the largest population of people of African descent, of Black people, outside of a country like Nigeria, the largest in the Western Hemisphere. Poverty, pollution, and a lack of access to quality health care have forced Black people in Brazil to bear the brunt of the crisis. Many Afro-Brazilians live in crowded favelas or shanty towns in which large numbers of people are forced to live in cramped and often unsanitary conditions. And to make things worse, police killings of Black people continue to worsen. The states of Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro have recorded upticks in the number of killings by police during the first months of 2020, according to Globo newspaper. Last year in 2019, 78% of those killed by Rio de Janeiro police were Black or Black descended. As former soccer star has said during a recent interview, there are thousands of George Floyds in Brazil. In Brazil, just like in the United States, there's a growing movement of all backgrounds fighting against systemic racism and ecological devastation, all while beating back the spread of COVID-19. Let us go now to a clip from CNN on the U.S. and Brazil leading the world in COVID-19 cases.
In the age of COVID-19, Presidents Trump and Bolsonaro are two of a kind. Both love Twitter and, by all appearances, hate wearing masks. Both are openly at odds with their nation's top doctors.
Trump is good. Bolsonaro is good.
And rely instead on the support of fans as they dismiss the pandemic as a little flu and a lot of hype.
So you don't believe COVID-19 exists at all? It's a hoax?
It could exist, this pro-Bolsonaro YouTuber tells me, but if it exists, it is weak.
Deadly.
No.
He sounds just like his president, who, when asked about his nation passing China in fatalities, said, so what? I mourn, but what do you want me to do? I can't work miracles. But the pot and pan protests that now ring out every time he goes on TV are just one sign of a nation at odds with itself. Testing is still hard to come by. And as they dig mass graves from Amazonia to Rio, some experts believe the official 1.6 million infections reported could be 12 to 16 times higher. And yet, The big cities are opening up, just as Bolsonaro uses his veto power to water down new laws to protect the public, ones that would make mask wearing mandatory in churches, schools, shops, and prisons.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Science is being ignored in this government as it has never been before.
Natalia Pasternak is a microbiologist who lobbies for more science in government policy and is among the many who were horrified when Bolsonaro fired his respected health minister for advancing quarantines. A loyal general with no healthcare experience is now running the nation's pandemic response.
Are we going to be able to care for these people? I mean, will there be hospitals for everyone? Will there be ventilators for everyone? We never reached the situation that they reached in Italy, where the doctor is forced to choose the person that gets the ventilator. I hope we never come to that, but I'm afraid we might.
All righty. Just a scary thought there. I'd like to welcome our guest. Vinnie Overbeck has been the coordinator of the World Forest Movement since 2011, a global network supporting forest-dependent communities in their struggles to defend their territories in Latin America, Africa, and Asia. He is based in the Brazilian town of Vitória in the Espírito Santo state. Before engaging with the World Rainforest Movement, Winnie has worked for many years with networks and organizations in Brazil supporting communities affected by large-scale tree plantations and other large-scale agro-industrial projects. Winnie Overbeck, welcome.
Hello, Margaret.
Yeah.
Good morning to you and good morning to everyone, and thank you for the invitation.
Yes, let us start before we get into talking about the impact of COVID on indigenous people in the Amazon. Just generally, we now know that Bolsonaro, who seems to follow Trump, every step of Donald Trump, has now been diagnosed with the virus. I understand that some journalists are actually suing him for not wearing a mask. You know, he's very hesitant to wear masks. Just tell us a bit about the impact you think he has had generally in the handling of this case and its impact on vulnerable communities in Brazil. Vinnie.
Well, yeah, I think in general you can say he has had a big impact on the fact that now Brazil is on the list of countries affected by COVID-19 on the second place after the U.S., so we are in a really bad position, and I think in general you can say it is because of his, he's like denying that the problem exists and showing it all the time to the people. He makes a lot of use of social media, besides, of course, the big media stations, they cover him all the time, but he has his own social media, and this social media is very much looked at by his supporters. And as you know, Bolsonaro was elected president of this country, so he has like millions and millions of Brazilians as followers. And when he gave a message like, okay, this is just a little flu and don't worry about, and if he shows on television and on Facebook and whatever social media that you don't need to use a mask, you don't need to protect, probably only some older people will get it, but most people will not get it. You spread a very confusing message if at the same time, at the time that we still had a Minister of Health that was seriously trying to do something and saying that you should use a mask, that you should protect yourself, that you should keep social distance from other people. And this is not a simple flu. This is a very serious disease. You get a very confusing message to the people, and I can experiment that in the neighborhood, in town, where part of the people, they take it serious, but a big part of the people, they just have not protected themselves. And this is the reason, one of the reasons, that nowadays we are in such a bad situation. So I think it's very crazy. It's very mad what has happened, that like this Minister of Health that took it serious and was every day, like in most countries, going to television to inform people what was going on. He sort of got he got mad about that. He didn't like that, and he dismissed him. So it's a sort of symptom in his government that people that we see doing something good for the people, that people who are responsible in their post in the government, they are not very welcome in the Bolsonaro government, which is a huge contradiction for, you know, people and he himself in the first place, who should take responsibility for the big problems, be a leader, yeah, behave as a leader to deal with not a minor problem, but like this very major problem of COVID-19.
There have been a whole series of corruption scandals in the government there, some highly questionable, for example, but certainly that has seemed to be impacting the Bolsonaro administration as well, as is here in the United States. Winnie, on the ground in Brazil, in the United States, we found we are finding that the death rate among Black people and indigenous people, Latinx people, higher than the death rate among white people. We're also finding that a lot of people of color in low-wage jobs, a lot of them are actually frontline workers who can't afford, even during the time of a shutdown, not to be able to go out. And I wonder if there's a similar situation in Brazil. And tell us a bit, too, about the conditions in the favelas, because people in the United States, this audience may have no idea unless they've been to Brazil and actually see how things are. Vinny Overbeek.
Definitely it's the same situation. Yeah, COVID-19, as I think in the U.S., it started to become a problem in the rich neighborhoods, which are very different worlds from the favelas. And because of this structural racism that also we have in Brazil, and the fact that, for example, the people who are cleaning the houses of these rich people who went to Europe or the U.S. or wherever, and they brought in the COVID-19. The people who are working in the house, they are mostly the Black people, the Black women working for very, very low salary, and they got contaminated and they took the virus to their neighborhoods because that's the only connection that actually exists. There are different worlds where people live very crowded. They cannot protect themselves. They cannot keep the social distance. It's very complicated. Another thing you already mentioned, while, you know, the most often white people, middle, higher class, they can stay at home. They can, you know, they can, they don't need to go out for working. They can do their home office, but it is completely different for the people in the favelas, which are majority Black people, and they need to go on the street because most of the people in Brazil, they earn their money in the informal economy, so they need to go on the street to sell something, and they need to work in a construction site without any registration, without any rights, and that means that there has been like some support from the government, very tiny support for the poor people, an emergency support, but many, many millions of people who are not even registered, and most of them are the Black people, they don't have had any access to that, so they need to go out. For them, it's not an option to stay at home, to stay safe. They need to go out, so they run a bigger risk. And when they get contaminated, they have to go to the public health system. That probably, as far as I know, a little bit, the U.S. we have, I think, a better organized public health system. It's called the SUSE, the unique health system, and apart from that, we also have the private health system, which is more for the middle and upper class. And of course, the private health system has been able to deal better with COVID-19. So the rich people getting ill, they got access, but all the people in the favela, they need to go to the public health system, and because of the speed of the contamination, too many people got at the hospital compared with the conditions of the public hospital. So what happened is that people died before they could get to an intensive care, also people went home because there was no space in the hospital and they died at home. I just saw the other day records of an investigation of how many people died at home, and it's an incredible number of thousands and thousands of people that were not registered as people who died because of the complications of COVID-19, but they just died at home. And very probably many of these people, they died of COVID-19. So there's a world of difference between the situation of the people in the favelas in terms of COVID-19 and the risk they have, and the rich, middle, and higher richer people. And the research that is being done on who has died from COVID-19, they show that a higher percentage of people from the favelas that died from COVID-19.
Bringing in the racial connection here, Winnie Overbeck, who's based in Brazil, is our guest here on Sojourner Truth, for those of you who are just joining us. But we do know that Brazil has the largest black population in the Americas, really. And, you know, a lot of people may not know that, but that is absolutely the case. And I read a quote recently by a, I suppose, a well-known soccer football player, Juninho, is that it? But he says, mm-hmm. quote, "It's inhumane to say we don't have George Floyds in Brazil. The shootings happen every day. Gay people are persecuted too, and that is one of the things I'm most angry about with the people who support Bolsonaro. However, no one can beat time. Someday, everyone will discover who you really are," I suppose, talking in reference to Bolsonaro. And he also says that there the thousands of George Floyds in Brazil and thousands of others who have suffered in silence that we don't know about. Your response to that?
I think the figure is about 60,000 violent deaths in Brazil each year. And I lived a long time in favela. And if I compare the street where I live at the beginning and 15 years after, I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 young black people who died because of violence. And in a society that simply doesn't give attention to their situation, the lack of opportunities, the lack of education, the lack of possibilities to study, and it's a cycle that reproduces itself, and it leads to the gangs in the neighborhood, the territories. And it's actually, for me, a very important sign of resistance. They are treated as the criminals. I don't know in the U.S., but I think it's quite similar. They are portrayed on television, on the radio, as the criminals that need to go to prison. And it's no surprise that we have one of the biggest prison populations in the world. And most of the people in prison, if you go there, they are black people.
Mm.
And are black people more violent? Are they stealing more than white people? You know, why is this happening? So I think that the anger of Juninho, I totally agree with that. And also, how can we live in this country without talking about it? How can we do, because now there's a lot of talk in COVID-19 times about going back to normality. Yeah? And here in Brazil especially, but in some way, the whole world, have we ever been in a normal world where you have structural racism? Is that normal? What is normal about that? So I think COVID-19 is more of a symptom, another symptom of the emergency that we are experiencing. And one of the emergencies in Brazil is the structural racism, the violence, the death of especially young black people, that is happening in a very silent way, very invisible way, and the government completely ignoring it. Actually, one of the measures of Bolsonaro government in these times of COVID-19, where, you know, while Bolsonaro was ignoring it, the state governors and the mayors, they were taking measures for social distancing, and they were finding people who were breaking the rules. But at the same time, Bolsonaro, he signed a decree to increase the possibility possibility of buying arms, arms in circulation. And there's a very close relation between the fact that in Brazil, so many arms in circulation, just like in the U.S., and so much violence is happening all the time, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my reaction, basically.
Yeah, and ABC reported that a 14-year-old boy was one of more than 600 people killed by police in the state of Rio in the first months of this year, and that's almost double the number of people killed by police over the same period in the entire U.S., which has 20 times Rio's population. So you could see how widespread the problem is. Winnie Overbeck, thank you for sharing that with us. Winnie, what we're going to do is just going to take a brief station break now. When we return, I'd like to discuss a bit of the impact of COVID on indigenous people living in the Amazon, and we'll also get into a discussion about the threats not only to the Amazon but to and people living in forests, you know, which I know in some circles is controversial among at least a certain sector of environmentalists. So stay with us. We'll be right back. And the late, great Bob Marley, Burning Anna Luton. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. Check out our website at www.sotrueradio.org and our handle on Instagram and Twitter at SoTrueRadio. And if you're a member of Facebook, you can like and friend us there. We're also nationwide and worldwide on SoundCloud. And in our tradition, let's give a shout out to our SoundCloud listeners.